This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Right now we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in John Greco. John, have you checked your phone within the last 5 minutes?
Good morning, yes. It's been kind of a whirlwind of a morning. Exits closed on the way to my kid's school. But I did have a chance, and I have seen that. So, yes, I'm ready.
Okay, so say you're a current teammate of the Cleveland Browns right now, right?
Yeah.
You see a video of Deshaun living the good life during the season while he is on IR. What do you think?
Personally, I would look at it, laugh, and say, you know what, good for him. Good for him for enjoying life.
No.
And it maybe it would be sarcastic, that I'm a sarcastic kind of dry humor guy. And then I would make, you know, jokes like, hey, I'm out here, you know, busting my neck every day and like bowing my back and my fingers hurt, and my knees hurt, my elbows hurt, and my shoulders hurt, my face hurts, and my neck hurts. And this guy's, you know, enjoying the good life. But I don't know, man. I saw that. I saw the vid. I would just kind of laugh to myself and go back to work. I mean, that would be my mindset, my stance on it. We don't know what the rules are, what the, you know, arrangement is with the organization and Deshaun. If it's, hey, look, you know, I don't want to say it like this, like stay away, but stay away, or you know what their arrangement and plan is, but you know maybe he's taking that literally and doing his own thing and just kind of you know trying to gear up for next year. But I don't know. That's my mindset. Maybe guys are pissed. I would just kind of, you know, use it as a humorous moment for myself and get back to work.
Would that be befitting of the C on the jersey then? No?
Oh, that's right. He's the captain.
And Nick Chubb isn't anymore.
Ken, yeah. You know, you ask great questions. You ask great questions. I can only say that, you know, in that world, in that locker room, you know, it's our job, man. And for me, it was like, you know, I could control what I could control. I don't, you know, you vote the quarterback a captain. He's a leader. You want him to, you know, succeed. You want to see a guy do well. You know, things happen throughout the year. This is a big thing. What's going on with Deshaun Watson, but I don't know. That's a good good point. Yeah. A good point and a good question. And, you know, maybe they'll reevaluate their votes next year.
I mean, I can just hear it in your voice. I know what you think. And, I mean, you told us what you think, but I got it. John Greco joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, you know, a lot of questions about the future of this football team, including the T word. Now we got Rodney McLeod coming in at 9 o'clock. He's a current player. I asked him about that dreaded T word, but the tanking thing and things of that nature. How do you think that they balance it? I mean, no offense to you, John. You played for a few lousy teams. Oh, that's a terrible thing to say to you. I'm sorry. But you played for some teams that were evaluating players during the season. How do you balance it with the veterans? How do you balance it with the young guys where it's like, hey, man, like we do have to evaluate whether or not some of these guys got what it takes because we don't plan on being bad next year. We got to get moving here.
Yeah, no offense taken, Ken. I mean, that's the harsh reality of my career. I played for some bad teams. And, you know, I was in this situation a lot. And I think you guys have heard me say this before. And I kind of started to say it in the first comment. But, you know, this is their job. So, you know, could guys kind of say, I'm hanging it up. My knee's hurting. You know, I need a procedure in the off season. Why not do it now? Shut it down. Get ready. Maybe guys will do that. That wasn't me. I was like, look, the guys that are going to the meetings every day, the guys that are going to battle, the guys that are going to war every day with me that started the year, let's try to finish this thing on a positive note. Yeah, there's going to be some things going on around us in the building. The optics of it could show that, you know, we're not directly trying to win these games. We're trying to put some young people in, maybe not the best people to put us in the best position to win the game. And I get that. It is what it is. But for me, until they bench me for a younger player or whatever because they wanted to get a look or evaluate someone else, it was still my job to show up every day. And I was getting paid to battle with my guys in my room. And, you know, the way things splinter is when people start pointing fingers, blaming. And I don't see that. I don't see guys making excuses. Now they're going through their script and everyone kind of sounds like Kevin Stefanski where it's, you know, we got to go to work. And maybe my segment right now sounds like that. But that was honestly my approach. It was get up, go to work. I got a family to feed. I got to try to, you know, make this team or another team next year and in the future. So if my play started to diminish because I didn't care or I didn't want to be there, and that's going to be obvious on the film. People are going to get hurt, and I'm going to play bad, and I'm not going to have a job. So that's everybody's mindset. At least that was mine when I played.
John Greco with us right now on the hotline. Jameis Winston, we've seen the ups. We've certainly seen the downs. Is that a guy that should be the starting quarterback of the Browns to start next season?
Guys, we talked about this last week a little bit, and you know, I listened to your show yesterday, and it was an entertaining game against Denver. Obviously, the Pittsburgh game went a little bit there, a lot different. I still kind of stand by what my feelings were last week. And Anthony and Ken, I don't know if there's a quarterback. I mean, maybe there's a handful of quarterbacks in the league, two or three. But if you're making the pre-snap penalties, the missed assignments, the errors, the lack of protection, the one-dimensional offense, if you're doing that and you're not able to be balanced and execute and have play smart as a unit, I don't know if any quarterback can help dig you out of that hole. Now, yes, it's very obvious Jameis is going to throw the ball away. But, I mean, my God, guys, I don't think it's any secret that some of these receivers that really have been non-existent throughout the first part of the year, and guys that we haven't said their names. I hear the guys on Sunday calling guys' names. I'm like, oh my God! It's great to see them get some action and get some touches. It looks like they can make plays. So I think Jameis does provide you. It could put you in a situation where you can win games and compete in the division if they're balanced. If they don't make the unforced errors. If they don't have pre-snap penalties and play, you know, dumb football. So I'm sticking by that. If you put a rookie out there and you look to do those, make those same mistakes, it's going to look even worse. You know, we saw what Deshaun did in this first part of the year. So, I mean, unless you're bringing in some kind of veteran, that you're really in the same situation where we want to talk about this, you know, quote unquote bridge quarterback. If the offense doesn't look better and the team doesn't play more balanced, you're going to have the same result no matter who you have behind there.
John, I was asked yesterday what I would do at the quarterback position. Let me go back to DTR for a second. When would you play him? Do you need to see him right now, or do you as an analyst, do you think, even if you were just a fan, do you think you've seen enough and you really don't need to go to DTR? Because, you know, we brought up DTR yesterday, and honestly, Lyman and I were crushed over the possibility of him being a player for this football team in the final four games at all.
Yeah, I think it's tough, guys, because you're at this stage in the season, and to, you know, put him out there. We saw last year in a small sample size, and I was one of those guys before Flacco came in and had the you know, great run that was like, yeah, I want to see DTR. I want to see what he can do, because I thought that he was able to provide you with a little bit of energy in leading the offense. He seemed like he was, you know, smart and able to lead and knew how to get organized. But, you know, there were some young player errors and turnovers were had. So now, you know, so Jameis plays against Kansas City, you know, who knows what happens, you know, after that, it's like, okay, here's where we're at. We have a couple games left, a handful of games left. Let's put DTR in, and, you know, two questions will be answered. Number one, is he a starting quarterback caliber player? I think you can come up to that conclusion, or I think you can draw a conclusion from the small sample size remaining in the season. You know, if he rips off a bunch of wins and plays great, you know, yeah, we should keep him around. I mean, he can come in as in a backup role and win games in a pinch, or start the season next year if things look right. Now, I don't want him to go out there and it just looks so god awful, because then at the same side, it's like, are we getting a fair assessment this stage in the season when they know they're out of the playoffs? And guys are just, you know, continue to get dinged. Who's going to finish the season out? I don't know if he's going to get a fair shake. So I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him, you know, win a couple games and look good and build his confidence to see if, you know, he is a starting caliber quarterback, or if he's going to be the Browns' backup for the, you know, short-term future and hopefully for a long time.
So this is where I was asked, and I guess I'm going to have to share it with you here in a way, see it running by you, even though it's only December, right? Yesterday, I got in a knockdown drag out at another place about this, because they were like, well, what would you do? Because when somebody asked me about Justin Fields, I'm like, I'm not taking bad and adding it to bad and saying it's going to be good. So I don't know what to do with Deshaun Watson. I don't think he really wants to be here. The fans seem to feel the same way. But as of right now, he's got to be my third quarterback. I would probably either try to see how the rest of the season goes with Jameis Winston. Lima brought up Derek Carr yesterday. So say you go after Derek Carr. Say you sign Derek Carr, right, John?
Yeah.
I would be open to either A, taking a quarterback in the first round, but I don't know if it's going to come up high enough to take, or B, if you wanted to take one of those project guys, because usually I would always argue against that, because, like, the year they took DeShone Kizer, I'm going, you're a bad football team. You don't even plan to compete. You've wasted this second-round pick because you're going to put him in with a bad football team, and you're not going to give him a chance. This was supposed to be a decent football team that's supposed to be able to protect people. I'd be open to taking a guy on a flyer and seeing whether or not he could actually cut the mustard this coming year.
Yeah, and, you know, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, these are all names that seem to circulate this time of year for teams that are in our situation. And it's like, yeah, can that guy come in and be our savior? Is he the missing piece? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, at the start of the season, and to your point, I thought this team was ready to make a push and win the division and go deep into the playoffs. And now I don't know that they're just a quarterback away from doing that, or a Derek Carr or a Jameis Winston playing well and starting the season away from doing that. I think there are some other holes now and some things that need addressed to where they almost took a couple steps back from September. So I don't know, guys. I would love to say that a Joe Flacco can have a magical season, a Derek Carr, a Kirk Cousins. You know, some of these names that seem to always be brought up this time of year and with teams that are in this situation. But I don't know if that's going to be the answer. I still need to see them play more consistent on defense, more consistent on offense, make less of the mistakes that put them on the eight ball. I mean, my God, special teams has been a disaster. So, you know, I don't know who you can have back there that's going to, you know, overcome all of those deficiencies. So I don't want to sound all gloom and doom, but I just think that the answers to these questions will probably materialize. I mean, Deshaun Watson is going to be the quarterback, guys. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the contract speaks for itself.
Wait a minute. You're going to play him?
I'm not the coach, Ken. We aren't the coach.
I'm asking you, brother. Are you going to put him back out there?
No,
okay.
I'm not.
Do you think that's me. Now, not you, but them. Do you think they're going to put him back out there?
I don't know.
Oh, you didn't say no. That's going to bother a lot of people.
I don't know that answer. They got a lot to figure out too. I mean, that's their problem. They're getting paid a ton of dough to do that. I wouldn't. I mean, I'm driving up Riverside Drive and over in Powell, Ohio. It's raining. but that's me. I mean,
it's raining. You know.
Yeah, that's me. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, and I think a lot of people obviously are frustrated because so much depends on that quarterback position and the future of this team. And you have veterans now that are their talent window and their prime might be starting to close. And, you know, they thought that they were going to be around for a run and to go for it all. It just seems like now they've taken multiple steps back from being able to achieve that. So I'm excited to see what they'll do.
The outstanding John Greco on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I was going to ask you whether or not they were serious because of the whole Kadarius Toney thing, but I've basically run out of time with you, John. It was too good.
John, real quick, are you going to pay a lot of money to go see Ohio State and Tennessee under the lights in a playoff game?
I will not be paying any money, Anthony. If somebody invites me and I can be up in a box.
You want him to be in a suite.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I would consider it, but no, I'm going to be on my couch. I'm excited for that game. I mean, if Ohio State pulls off this path that's in front of them to the national championship, I mean, I don't know what more you could say about Ryan Day, but I'm excited to watch. It's going to be a fun college football playoff.
The wonderful John Greco on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, we thank you very much for the time.
Guys, thank you.
Thank you. John Greco joining us. Speaking of radio show hosts getting out of line, some strong things said down in Columbus. And this is all about Kirk Herbstreit. Now, at first I thought it might be about, I'm like, they can't be that mad at his son for going to Michigan, right?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me tell you this. I got a problem with Michigan on that whole thing. Before we get back to this whole deal, I got a problem with Michigan that whole thing. I didn't know that it was all he had nothing but preferred walk-on opportunities from other schools.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's wrong, and I think if I were Kirk Herbstreit, I go, what are you using my son for? I will turn right around and use you for a free education and saying that my son ain't paying a dime to go to a school that is prestigious, no matter what anybody wants to say, that he can go to a school like the University of Michigan and be a glorified walk-on in so many ways, and maybe he'll get some playing time someday in 4 years or something like that during a blowout in the early part of the season. But to me, it's a bad look from the University of Michigan.
Oh, so you think they only did this for publicity?
Yes, yes, yes. I think it's a cheap, bad ploy. I really do.
Is he's not a good enough football player to play at Michigan?
The only thing you told me is that he has nothing but preferred walk-on opportunities. Mm-hmm. If you get offered by the University of Michigan, I would imagine you have some MAC schools. I would imagine you have lower-tier Big Ten schools or Big 12 schools that have offered you full rides. If he's been offered full rides, I take it back. But you told me, you and Mitch both told me he's been offered no full rides.
But isn't Michigan paying another guy $10 million to play quarterback there?
Yeah, they're probably out of money in the quarterback room.
Yes, and now they're bringing in a cost-effective.
So that's what they're doing.
A okay. guy that'll just take a scholarship and be happy.
It seems to be...
He doesn't need the money.
I think there would probably be guys who were offered from Indiana or Purdue. Indiana's a bad example right now. But Purdue or Northwestern or something like that, that if you wanted to go ahead and take a whack at, if you were Michigan, go ahead and fine. I really don't care for
I've definitely seen some Buckeye fans lash out at Herbie as if he gets to tell his kid where to go to school.
He can send his kid wherever, and his kid can go wherever.
Remember, he's had one go to Clemson, actually two go to Clemson. One ended up at Ohio State. He actually had a big-time heart surgery, but is still there at Ohio State. Doesn't really play, but he's on the team. So he's had kids at different schools now.
Guys, I could understand if the son was like a legacy. Legacies get picked up all the time. It's part of the movie Rudy. I can understand that, but now, remember, it just seems to be a little...
But if Rudy's kid went to USC, it'd be...
They bumped up scholarship totals for this year. Example. So every school now has like 20 more scholarships that they can give. So maybe they see it as just, if they want to throw a scholarship at him. But that is, it's not a reason to go after Herb Street. I mean, first of all, he's got to be a proud dad. His kid going to a great institution, and I'm an Ohio State guy, and I'm admitting, Michigan's a great institution.
You can send your kid wherever you want, and if he wants to take advantage of it and go, hey, my son's going to go there, and he's going to graduate from a great school, which it is, that's fine. He can say that. But I think on Michigan's standpoint, you're not offering him because you think that he's going to be the next great Michigan player. I don't believe that. I'm not upset with Kirk Herbstreit or his family.
But not every player
I have a problem with Michigan.
But that happens all the time. Not every player is supposed to go down in history as an elite player. It is a numbers game.
But let's not play stupid here. You know why? You cannot sit there and tell me a kid who had no other offers for full ride at that type of university was offered a full ride university. If he was Chase Lima, do you think that he'd be offered a Michigan University scholarship, the University of Michigan scholarship?
So you don't like the fact that Michigan's also getting something out of this?
I just think it's a cheap ploy.
Like the fact that Kirk Herbstreit is the signature analyst in college football.
I think it's a cheap ploy.
I mean, is that not smart?
Didn't say it wasn't smart. Said it was cheap. There's a difference. I think a place like Michigan, it should be beneath you.
But, I mean, it's not just they're getting the top analyst kid, right? They're getting ESPN, New York Post, Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, got headlines
author.
Everywhere.
Author.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's got it all. But I I'm not arguing
so
whether or not it was
five
smart.
In a row for Michigan.
I just think it's...
This counts as a win?
He said it, not me. I just want everybody to know Owen said it. I didn't say it.
According to the headlines I'm reading.
Looks like Ryan Day lost another one.
But they are upset. They are upset with Kirk Herbstreit for something he said. This is during the selection show on ESPN.
Yes, on Sunday.
Kirk Herbstreit told him the truth, and they're mad down there at him. Here's Kirk Herbstreit, courtesy of ESPN, about Ohio State might have been better served if they were playing on the road versus Tennessee.
After the Ohio State season ended against Michigan, I don't know if it would have been better for Ohio State to go on the road to get away from their home crowd that'll be booing after their third down not converting and the punter comes out, booing Ryan Day. They'll have to rally and have a good start to that game, or it could turn sideways with the home crowd, in my opinion.
Where's the cheap shot in there? Why are people upset?
Well, for me, I'm definitely not going to call it a cheap shot considering I said it on the radio and tweeted it out a week ago.
Yes, you did.
That I was a little worried about
that.
Did
you get cussed out by people?
And yeah, a few people, but most agreed. I mean, everybody saw that 108,000 people were booing that offense and Ryan Day and that coaching against Michigan when they got, one first down in the second half and couldn't move the ball in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all saw how that panned out. So where's the lie from Kirk Herbstreit? Why would anybody be... Are they mad that an Ohio State grad said it? I mean, Kirk Herbstreit's been an analyst for, better part of two decades now. This is what he does. He's not there to just spout out Ryan Day or Ohio State talking points. He's out to give the... it's the exact truth because I said it a week ago.
Well, I want to hear what your comments are after we hear from Mike Ricciardotti on Kirk Herbstreit. This is via Common Man and T-Bone yesterday on 97.1 The Fan.
Playoff bracket unveiled yesterday. By the way, I like how everybody's just discovering now that Kirk Herbstreit's a d- Like, I've been talking about this for 20 years. Welcome to my world. Now, there's stuff behind the scenes, and there's some personal stuff that goes into my story. But this is a guy who's always been ashamed of college football fans. This is a guy who makes his living talking down to you. Mm-hmm. For some reason, people still eat it up. They think he's the everyman. Oh, look at him. Well, no, because... Look at him and his dog.
Hey, talk about the dog last week. We were certainly wondering. We had concerns.
I thought he had already got the dog. I thought he just moved on to a new dog. I didn't realize he already had that new dog. You corrected me. Thank God you did that day you talked about the new dog. Because he had the new dog in Cleveland, but I didn't realize that dog was already a part of the family that he brought to Cleveland. I'm not going after him because of the dog. Leave dog out of this, if you can. This is some ill will down there in Columbus. Like, this has never come back home again. Down there in Columbus.
Oh, we don't know the specifics of any of that. I mean, we would not dare ask our boss, who used to be a producer on the Kirk Herbstreit show down in Columbus. We would not in any way, you know, breach that kind of confidence. But obviously, those guys in Columbus that are in the media, they have been lashing out. They have been lashing out at Kirk Herbstreit for many years. There was a there was an incident down there 15 years ago. You guys can all Google it, on a sports radio voice that lost his job because of something he said about Desmond Howard, who's the work partner of Herbstreit. So obviously there's bad blood there. I don't know other things that have gone on behind the scenes, but to attack Herbstreit for saying what's on his mind. I mean, what, you're trying to cancel the guy? Are you trying to limit what he's able to say? Are you mad he's ascended to NFL heights and the pinnacle of college football?
They mad because everybody else likes him and then talks to them that they should like him too?
Now, look, there's a lot.
It seems that everybody outside of Columbus likes the guy.
Now, there are a lot of people in Columbus that feel aggrieved, especially when he is lashed out over time at, you know, the crazies, the Ohio State football crazies. God, at times people say I'm one of the Ohio State football crazies.
Hold on now. Like, in the guy you're talking about, you know, we've known that guy for a long time, and it was a mistake.
Yeah,
all right.
Torg.
Yeah, and I like
the guy. He's been on the show.
And he's worked at the station here and there a time or two. Okay? But also, when it comes to Kirk Herbstreit, like, we've had Kirk Herbstreit on, and we've met him in person, and he was a perfectly nice, affable individual.
Yeah, I don't know him personally. I don't know any of these guys. We have Mike Lombardi on. People tell us horrific things, but
let me ask you this.
I like opinions. I like guys that offer opinions.
Is it just different because he played at Ohio State, and so they feel he should sand down the truth or cover up the truth a little bit as he gives his opinions?
Kenny, how many more homers do they need in Columbus? They've cornered the market. You've got Ohio State people at the Big Ten Network, 20 of them.
I think
You've got 20 of them at ABC and ESPN. How many more homers do you need?
For me to talk about other people being homers, I think would be a little bit rich, don't you think? So I kind of want to ask you.
I'm amazed. Like, do you really think Ohio State doesn't get enough positive reinforcement, positive headlines? It's Ohio State. You've got Gus Johnson on every game calling the world famous Ohio State. Like, these media execs at the network, they love Ohio State. They want to bend over backwards to help out Ohio State so that they make more money because there is a mutually beneficial relationship there. Nobody is trying to go out of their way to sling dirt on Ohio State and prevent them from helping out the almighty, which is the dollar in this case. Come on. What are we talking about here?
But as I've told you before, it's much easier to climb the hill than it is to defend the hill. And so everybody has to put a chip on their shoulder, whether or not it's real. And so that's part of the reason why people get so upset down there about Kirk Herbstreit. I don't know anything. Look, guys, he's only treated us nice. I can't say anything else about the guy. He's only treated us nice. Apparently, some people, like, if it comes from you and me, we're not what Kirk Herbstreit is.
And by the way,
I didn't play there, so we can say what we want.
We all know how crazy fan bases can be. It's not totally unique to Ohio State. It's all the big brands. And look, we're in an NFL market. We're in a professional sports market. There are crazies here too. There are delusional crazies that go after the media. They think the media is out to take them out. But that's in every market. That's not what it is. I think in this case, is Columbus, in many ways, Ohio State is their professional team. They are covered like a professional team. There's 30 blogs in Ohio State that are credentialed, that are at everything. There's more media that covers Ohio State than there are the Browns. I mean, they're by a wide margin. It's like exponentially more. So I think maybe they're just more susceptible to that. They're more vulnerable to that. But in the end, like, Herb Street loves Ohio State. He just doesn't like the crazies. And the crazies in this instance are all the proof you need that they can be annoying. Just what you're seeing right now, the reaction to Kirk Herb Street. It proves exactly what he's been talking about over the years. The reason he left Columbus.
Yeah, he did move to Tennessee. I mean, boy, that's a lot of pressure there. Lord Almighty.
Before we bring up the DTR thing, Nick had mentioned in the afternoon that he called the Browns unserious. You took somewhat umbrage with that. The way you describe, I did not hear the comment by Nick. The way you describe it, kind of want to agree, because I think I know where he was coming from there. Now, without hearing the context of it, so this is dangerous. He mentioned Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney in that football game. And Rodney's in the building, so this is a dangerous sentence. Kadarius Toney went into business for himself. I can't put him back out there this Sunday against Kansas City. Why did you move on from Jalen Darden, it seemed? Did Jalen Darden try to return a punt inside his own 10 in the game against Denver? Okay.
Yeah.
So you try to return a punt inside your own 10. Kadarius Toney tries to return a punt at the 4-yard line. Then he gets a penalty for taunting. Then he puts the ball on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who's trying to put something on tape for himself. If you can't play within the realm of the football team so that you can put something on tape for yourself and you're only in business for yourself, this is not your place where you go and have your glorified workout for other teams. That's what Kadarius Toney was doing. We're not doing that anymore. No. No.
Yeah, they took a
flyer.
You had
your chance, that's it.
He was a top 20 pick, you know, not that long ago,
like
2021.
The Hopkins thing, this is going to be ugly, because I think that your momentum killed you with the two Hopkins misses. And I'm not going to pin everything on Dustin Hopkins. He didn't throw a pick on a screen, for crying out loud, but it doesn't help that he misses those kicks, and he's missed, what, 6 of his last 9, I think the number is?
It's like one of the worst stretches in NFL history,
yes.
I think.
But I go back to what John Harbaugh said. He's like, well, there's no kicker on the street better than Justin Tucker. Is there a kicker on the street that's better than Dustin Hopkins? Do you want to move on from Dustin Hopkins with 4 games left in the season?
Well, I think you...
At 3-10, you think you have to?
No, I think you kick him the rest of the year as many times as possible just to see if he can right the ship. It's not trending in a good direction, but why give up on it now? The guy's under contract.
You know, my issue with the
and
culture...
And who cares if you lose? I think kind of the point is to lose.
Like, my issue with the culture is, again, I brought up Deshaun Watson at the beginning of the show in this social media post that everybody has sent to us a million times of him being on vacation. I go, yeah, he's acting like the rest of us would if we hit the lottery and we didn't have to work anymore. I got no problem with how he spends his money and going on vacation, fine. But as a current quarterback of the Browns and what started out the season as a captain, there, yeah, you expect commentary on that and you expect opinion on that. And I gave it to you, so sure as hell, so did John Greco. But when that, like, that's part of the culture that I'm saying. Am I saving the culture by not letting Dustin Hopkins kick anymore for my team, Anthony?
I don't think these things mean they're an unserious team. Yes, winning is no longer the top priority, but seeing if guys like Kadarius Toney, seeing if a first-round pick from a few years ago, if there's anything left. I mean, that's kind of a normal thing teams do at the end of seasons when their seasons are doomed. That doesn't mean that the whole operation is unserious. Like the Deshaun Watson thing, that was going to be what this season hinged on. He was awful. I think they probably moved on from him 2 weeks too late. But again, they were going to try to make sure. They're going to make sure in every which way that he was the problem. Now, it's been pretty clear that he wasn't the only problem. He was part of the problem,
yes.
But still the biggest facet. I mean, you don't ever want to go into a season and go to Greenbrier and go to training camp and have a guy that can't play anymore as your starting quarterback
and call him
a captain. Like that, they'll never make that mistake again. They will not just next year say, it's your starting job, captain, going into training camp. That's the one thing they're definitely not going to make that same mistake.
Well, they probably don't plan on him being the starting quarterback to start the season, or it may be ever at this point. We'll see.